Hello, and thanks for downloading this edition of the Sporting Witness podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Vicky Carter. Today, I'm taking you back to the Summer Olympics of 1988 in Seoul, in South Korea, where a referee unintentionally started a riot as South Korean boxer Byun Jung-il lost to his Bulgarian opponent, Alexander Ristov.
The coaches were first in. Then they started throwing ice, but as it escalated, I believe there were chairs being thrown. There was tables being overturned outside of the ring. They were pulling my hair, if they could grab hold of my hair, and they were trying to punch me, but of course, quite a lot of mayhem going on both inside and outside the ring.
For the first time ever, the Olympics were held in South Korea, and it was a big moment. The event was a symbol of pride for the nation after decades of unrest from the Korean War 35 years earlier. The country was on the international stage. But unfortunately, the Games would be remembered in history for different reasons.
The sixth day of competition was marred by trouble in the boxing. Officials and fans invaded the ring and attacked the referee when a decision was given against a South Korean fighter. All boxing.
Let's begin at the start of the match. New Zealander Keith Walker was the referee at the fight between South Korean boxer Byun Jung-il and Bulgarian Alexander Ristov.
Both of these boxers were very experienced boxers, and so therefore it was quite an even contest in lots of respects. One boxer was particularly tall, one was quite short.
And do you think their size played an advantage at all with their skills or the match?
Ah, yes. Taller boxers have a distinct advantage over smaller boxers because of their reach and being able to keep a better range.
And because Byun Jung-il was shorter, he began to foul, just to reach his opponent.
It happened right from the very beginning of the round. The taller boxer was coming forward and he would duck down to go underneath the long boxer's long arms. And at the same time, by doing that, he was actually hitting the boxer with his head in the middle of his stomach. His head was always in a dangerous position. And he continued to infringe on that basis. It would have been very frustrating for him because a long-reach boxer was keeping him at bay. So the only way he could virtually go in was to go underneath the punches that this taller boxer was throwing.
The fouls then continued as cautions and warnings. Fighters are not allowed to duck low, hold on to the opponent, hit below the belt, slap, and if they do this many times, they get a warning and possible disqualification. In the first round, two cautions were given to the South Korean, Byun Jung-il.
It's very frustrating for a referee because there's no way that a referee, international referees, don't want to disqualify boxers. In actual fact, they don't want to give warnings either. So you give the boxers, the infringing boxers, as much opportunity as they can to rectify their ways. I actually pleaded with him to keep his head up and to make sure that he understood each time. And of course, the coaches also in the corners, they can actually see by my hand gestures what the caution was for. So it's up to them in that interval between the rounds to inform the boxer to stop.
But he continued to foul. And at the end of the second round, Alexander had two cautions, and Byun had two cautions and a warning. Tensions were already heating up with the home crowd.
One of the officials from the Korean team was actually running around the outside of the ring, around the perimeter of the ring, calling abuse from outside of the ring. The round ended, and I got the boxers into the centre of the ring, and the jury tallied up the judges' cards.
The bell rang, and Bulgarian Alexander Ristov won the match 4-1.
The winning boxer's hand went up, the boxers shook hands, and when I turned around to walk back to the corner, this coach was coming in through the ropes. I reacted by just trying to move him out, by just trying to force him or push him outside of the ring. But of course then, by that time, some of the referees and judges doing the bout had come to my rescue and they were trying to manhandle him and keep him away. But with that, he just got a bit more encouragement from his other coaches in the corner, and before I knew it, there was more than him just getting into the ring.
It erupted into chaos.
Other judges, they were trying to manhandle everybody that was attacking me out of the ring, trying to get them outside the ring. Of course, there was no show of that.
How did it make you feel?
It made me feel very unsafe. I can assure you on that. I was sort of quite calm about it originally, right at the very start of the incident. But as it escalated and I saw the mayhem that was going on, I then started to fear that I needed to... I needed more protection than what I was getting, and also I needed to get into a safe area somewhere. Because of the way that they were aggressively attacking, I think that it was at that stage, I think that I thought this is going to escalate and I'm going to be seriously hurt here.
Already having taken a few punches, Keith was scared for his own life and wasn't getting any support from local security.
Instead of being protective, they were actually part of the attacking, enforcing, if you like. They were certainly riot batons, and they were using them not for against the people who were rioting or people who were causing me trouble. They were trying to intimidate me.
Keith wouldn't leave the ring until he was guaranteed he'd be protected by security officers. Finally, he was escorted out of the ring with different security and led outside of the stadium.
The mayhem continued on inside the ring while I was escorted out of the stadium and no protection in front of me. And while I was being led out, there was quite a big, large number of spectators or volunteers were actually karate kicking me from the front. They were lined up either side of the of where I was walking through.
He was left in a room where a TV was showing footage of the violence he'd just left behind.
I was the only person inside the boardroom, but there were a big number of volunteers or whoever they were in the main part of the lounge part watching this mayhem that was going on in the ring being replayed and replayed. I didn't know who I was with or what was going to happen at that point. I think by the time I'd been in there for a few minutes, the word would have got about that it was me that was perpetrator of their disgust, if you like.
Later that afternoon, Keith returned to New Zealand. Sitting on the plane, Keith finally had the chance to reflect on what had happened a few hours earlier.
For the first time, for a few hours, I felt that I was safe, that I was in a safe place, and there was no way that anybody would know me from this point on, and so I would be able to get home to New Zealand. I think it was a moment in history.
After Keith left the boxing ring, Byun Jong Il continued to stay in the ring for 67 minutes in protest at the final score, breaking the Olympic sit-in record of 51 minutes set in 1964 by fellow Korean Jo Dong-ji.
I was rather amused because they allowed him to stay there. There was no way that he could protest the decision. So therefore, what was the purpose of it all other than just to make a scene, to try to get sympathy, I should imagine?
The Bulgarian boxer Alexander Ristov went on to win a silver medal at the Olympics. Following that fight, and after a 25-year career of international refereeing, Keith Walker made a life-changing decision.
I made up my mind then that would be my last time that I refereed. I just was not interested at all in looking forward to the future or what happens next. What happens next is that I didn't want to referee anymore.
Keith Walker is now chairman of Boxing New Zealand and honorary vice president of the International Boxing Federation. He was speaking to me, Vicky Carter, for that edition of the Sporting Witness podcast.